Good morning, Redemption. Good morning. How are you guys doing? Good. Doing good this morning? These seats feel a little bit tighter this morning, don't they? I don't know what that's about, but after this week, these movie theater seats just aren't as big as they used to be. Hope you guys all had a great Thanksgiving. I had an awesome Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving is actually still going on for me because I'm super thankful to be here with all of you guys. As Pastor Jeremy said, my name is Ricky. I'm associate pastor at Authentic Church in White Plains. And I know a lot of you don't know me. That's all right. But what I want to let you know is that Pastor Jeremy is a great friend to our church. I don't know who he was talking about earlier, but he is a great friend to our church, and we love Pastor Jeremy. And if you're a regular attender, you guys already know how awesome Pastor Jeremy is. But if it's your first time here at Redemption, I just want to let you know that this is the place where you need to be. If you're looking around for churches, if you're kind of hopping around, that's all right, but this is where you need to be. You don't need to look any further. Pastor Jeremy is an awesome pastor. What I know about Pastor Jeremy is that he loves this community, he loves all of you, and he loves God. So this is where you need to be, and even if you haven't met him yet, he loves you. Now, before I get started, by a show of hands, how many of you have ever lost something that's important to you? Remember the feeling, though, that you had when you found that something that was very important to you? Do you remember how happy you were when you found it? Maybe it was your wallet, maybe it was your keys or something. Now, my wife and I don't have any kids yet, but some of your parents may have lost your kids before, and then you found them, and you remember how excited you were when you found your kids? Some of you maybe weren't that excited when you found your kids. That's all right, too. Just the other day, I actually lost my credit card, and I searched my entire apartment for the credit card, couldn't find it anywhere. I turned my pockets inside out and all my pants, looked in all my bags, could not find my credit card anywhere. And you guys probably can relate to this. You hate losing your credit card or your debit card because you start getting this anxiety that somebody stole your credit card and they're going to go on a shopping spree. Although if someone steals my credit card, they're not going to get very far on it. But I had so much anxiety about this because I didn't want to have to get my card replaced or anything like that. And then finally, I remembered I was talking to Trista, my wife, and I was thinking, oh yeah, we went out to eat last night, didn't we? And so I called the restaurant, and the restaurant thankfully had my card right behind the counter. Nobody stole my identity or anything like that. And I was super relieved to find that credit card. Mostly I was relieved because I lose a lot of things, to be honest. But typically I don't find those things after I lose them. I've been married for about 5 years. I've already had to replace my wedding ring once. I lost an iPad just a little while ago. Never found it again. And I lose a phone charger every single time that I go on a trip. I'm pretty sure that the people at the hotel are stealing those phone chargers. But I never find anything that I lose. But it's always awesome whenever you find something that was important to you that you lost. And as we're going to look at the scriptures today, I think what God wants us to know is that when people who are lost are found, his heart is filled with joy because he loves seeking those that are lost. In Luke chapter 15, we see that Jesus is sharing what is known as the lost parables. And a parable is just means it's a short story with a deeper, more spiritual meaning. And some of you have actually maybe been around whenever you were going through the series, Finding Your Way Back to God, that Pastor Jeremy went through just a little while ago. And he was speaking about the parable of the lost son. And this morning, what I want to do is I want to look at the two parables that actually come before the parable of the lost son in Luke chapter 15. The first parable is about a lost sheep, and then the second parable is about a lost coin. So if you have your Bibles with me, I think it's going to be on the screen behind me as well. But in Luke chapter 15, verse 1, it says this: "Tax collectors and other notorious sinners often come to listen to Jesus teach. This made the Pharisees and teachers of religious law complain that he was associating with such sinful people, even eating with them." Now, if you've been around church any, you've probably heard people talk about the life of Jesus. He was extremely popular in his early ministry. All sorts of different people would come together to hear him speak. And Jesus, who is the Son of God, is hanging around eating dinner with tax collectors and sinners. And of course, these super religious guys as well, known as the Pharisees. And they were disgusted with Jesus because he would even hang out with these tax collectors and sinners. Now, this is a big deal because tax collectors were hated by everyone in this time. Look, I know you guys hate the IRS, but this is on a whole nother level. They hated tax collectors. In fact, they were even seen as professional thieves. Because what was happening is the Romans at this time were ruling the Jewish people, and they would hire Jews to collect tax from the Jewish people. And so they would collect this tax, and then a percentage would go to the Roman government, but then the tax collectors would pocket the rest. And see, these tax collectors in this time were so rejected that they couldn't even testify in court because they were seen as dishonest people. They weren't even allowed into the synagogue, which would be like our church today. Now, this is a big one. They weren't even allowed to give an offering to the synagogue. You guys know you've got to be a bad person for the church to not even accept your money. That's a big deal. And the Pharisees, they see Jesus hanging out with these people, and it's a big deal because the Pharisees always try to stay clean, and they were trying to stay clean according to the Old Testament law. But they would go above and beyond, and they would avoid people that were deemed unclean. And Jesus risked defilement by touching those who had leprosy. Jesus wasn't too concerned with his reputation or anything like that. So Jesus is here with the tax collectors and the sinners. And what's funny to me is that the scripture even kind of separates those two, the tax collectors and then the other sinners. You know, that's how bad the tax collectors were. They didn't even want to put them in the same category as the sinners. So Jesus has all these people around, tax collectors, has sinners, he has Pharisees sitting there listening to them. And so Jesus starts telling some stories, some parables. And he says this next in the scripture. If a man has 100 sheep, and one of them gets lost, what will you do? What will he do? Won't he leave the 99 others in the wilderness and go to search for the one that is lost until he finds it? Now, if I was sitting there listening to this story that Jesus is telling, I would start having flashbacks to middle school. I'm like, oh man, Jesus is asking me a math problem. 100 sheep minus one, 99. I don't know. I give up, Jesus. I give up. But when we're reading this parable, we're thinking, well, I don't really see the significance of losing one sheep out of 100. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I don't own a sheep. I don't have any sheep. My building doesn't even let me have pets. And I don't even know anybody that owns a sheep. I don't know any shepherds. So unless there's a shepherd in this room that owns sheep, I don't know anybody that owns some sheep. So we kind of have to think about this scenario in different terms because none of us can relate to owning 100 sheep. So let's think of this kind of like a small business, okay? A flock of 100 sheep in this time was a medium-sized flock. Wasn't a large flock, but it wasn't a small flock either. Now think like you own 100 cars at a car dealership. You have 100 cars, one car goes missing. You're not going to just carry on with your day because you have 99 other cars, but one is missing. That's a big deal. One car is very valuable to you, even if you own 100 cars. So let's get back to the scriptures here. Jesus says, and when he has found it, he will joyfully carry it home on his shoulders. When he arrives, he will call together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep. In the same way, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. So let's dissect this a little bit. Like I said earlier, a parable is just a story with a deeper, more spiritual meaning. So there are two major characters in this parable. We have the shepherd and we have the sheep. Well, we all know who the shepherd is. The shepherd is God because we see it all throughout scripture that Jesus refers to himself as the shepherd. In fact, in John chapter 10, verse 11, he says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for his sheep. So that only leaves one group of characters left, the sheep. So can you guys guess who the sheep are in this story? The sheep are you and I. The sheep are us. And I'm going to be honest with you, that's not really a compliment either. I know you're thinking, well, sheep are kind of cute. No, it's not really a compliment because sheep are not exactly the smartest animals. You can't teach one to fetch or anything like that. In fact, I read this article on a website to kind of just give you the idea of how intelligent sheep are. And I think we may have it on the screen. But the title of this article is 400 Sheep Fall Off a Cliff in Turkey. I'm going to read this article to you real quick. Hundreds of sheep followed their leader off a cliff in eastern Turkey, plunging to their deaths this week while shepherds looked on in dismay. 400 sheep fell 15 meters to their deaths in a ravine in Van Province near Iran, but broke the fall of another 1,100 animals who survived. Newspaper reports said yesterday, shepherds from the village neglected the flock while eating breakfast, leaving the sheep to roam free. The loss to local farmers was estimated at $74,000. I hope I don't offend anybody here, but sheep are dumb. Sheep are not smart animals. And guess what? Jesus is comparing us to sheep. And if you think about it, though, we tend to act a lot like sheep. We tend to wander. We tend to kind of go astray every now and then. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6, the scriptures say, all of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We've left God's path to follow our own. And if a sheep strays away from the flock and the shepherd, then those sheep are going to be in danger because sheep can't find their way back to the flock. They roam off of cliffs and things like that. They get themselves into danger. And that's kind of what we do sometimes if you think about it. We like to wander, and then we wander towards some sort of sin or wander towards some sort of temptation. And then we get ourselves into some real trouble. And there we are. We can't find our way back home. And we don't know where the shepherd is, and then we just wander off a cliff. But like this parable says, God is always looking for us. God is always looking for us. But here's the truth that I want you guys to know, is that we're the lost ones. God is not the lost one. We are the ones that walk away from God because God is always looking for us and walking toward us. And so we're responsible for ourselves kind of wandering off. And he's our Savior that's always seeking us out. And what's so important for us to realize about this parable is that we should care for the lost the same way that God cares for the lost. That we should care for the lost the same way that God cares for the lost. Now, I'm sure I'm speaking to some people in this room that are just at different points in their walk with God, and that's awesome. Many of you, I'm sure, have been following Jesus for many, many years, and man, that's really cool. But some of you have perhaps have not made that decision to follow Jesus yet, and I'm sure I can speak for Pastor Jeremy and say that he is so excited to have you here at Redemption Community Church. This is a place where you can come, feel loved and welcomed, and no one's going to judge you or anything like that. And this is a place where you can come and just kick the tires of your faith. And so I'm glad that you're here. But I'm going to ask you, if you have not put your faith in Christ yet, I'm going to ask you how to just sit back for a minute. You get a little pass for a second. You get to just eavesdrop for just a few minutes, and then we'll get back to you in a moment. But the reason why this parable is so important for Christ followers, for Christians, is because we were all lost at one point as well. But God sought us out, and most often, God uses us to seek others. Did you catch that? God uses us to seek others. We need to be seeking people that are far from God because the lost, just like the sheep needs a shepherd, the lost need a shepherd as well. And when the sheep have been joined with their shepherd, God rejoices, is what the scripture says. God rejoices. Now, let's go to this next parable real quick, and then we'll get back to that. The next parable is about a lost coin, and Jesus is telling the same thing. He's trying to drive the same point home. And he says in verse 8, "Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found my lost coin.' In the same way, there is joy in the presence of God's angels when even just one sinner repents." And now I know what you're thinking right now. This lady is cleaning her entire house to look for just one coin. But this isn't the case of like a penny lost in the couch cushion or anything like that. Palestinian women in this time would receive 10 silver coins as a wedding gift. So besides the monetary value, which at this time a coin would be about a day's wages. So besides that monetary value, these coins held sentimental value as well. Now, I mentioned earlier that I've already lost my wedding ring once, but I'm going to be honest with you. My wedding ring doesn't have quite the same monetary value that my wife's wedding ring has. I never found my wedding ring, but if my wife loses her wedding ring, we're finding that ring. We're gonna take every item out of our apartment, put it on the street, piece by piece, until we find that ring. I will find that wedding ring. So you can kind of see that this coin was a big deal. So in this story, we see that the woman is God. Now, I want to let you know, the Bible says that God is not a man or a woman. He's created us, you and I, in his image, but he is neither male or female. But in this story, God is the woman. And so that leaves the lost coin. Guess who the lost coin is? That's us. We are the lost coins. We are always the lost coins. And what's important to know is that the coin can't find itself. The coin cannot find itself. The coin needed the woman to find it. Just like we can't find ourselves, we need God to seek us out. And God uses others to seek the lost. And like I said earlier, more often than not, that's how he does it. He uses us to seek those that are lost. Now, at my church, we give out something called practical application points. And so if you're taking notes on your phone or anything like that, this is a great opportunity to write these down. If you just want to remember them in your head, that's all right too. You're not going to offend me or anything like that. But I want to give you a couple of practical application points. The first one is stick with the flock. Stick with the flock. You guys remember who we were in the parable. We're the sheep. And we always wander off, but it's important to stay connected to a community of believers. It's important to stay connected to a community of believers. Some of us have strayed far away from God, and we've turned our back on the community. But we all need a church with people that are passionate about following Jesus. I know one of the values here at Redemption Community Church is community. And I believe that we as humans are all built for community. We're built to be with other people in relationships with one another because we can't make it alone. We were made to live our lives with other people. So stick with a community of believers at a church. It's so important because we need the church to all help us stay connected to one another. And together we progress in our faith. And we grow spiritually when we're living in community with other believers. So stick with the flock. Unless they're jumping off a cliff, then don't stick with the flock then. But outside of that, stick with the flock, stick with the community. Second application point I want you to have is this, is recognize the lost. Recognize the lost. Look, Jesus hung out with tax collectors and sinners. He had dinner with people that no one else would have dinner with. In fact, if he wasn't having dinner with sinners, he'd be eating alone. Jesus was always having dinner with sinners and tax collectors and people that no one else wanted to have dinner with. But here's the deal. We are all lost without God. We're all just sheep without a shepherd. And like sheep, we're vulnerable without our shepherd. So you might be thinking, well, I don't know. Like, you know, you're talking about how dumb sheep are, but I feel like I'm pretty smart. Yeah, you're smart for a sheep, which isn't really saying that much. Or you might be thinking, well, you know, I'm pretty confident that I can find my own way. Yeah, you're confident for a sheep, and a sheep does things like wander off cliffs. So we all need a shepherd. Even the most confident of us are just like lost sheep or a lost coin without God. But because God cares for the lost, we need to have that same care for the lost as well. We should be looking for opportunities to share our faith with other people. Now, I'm not saying that you have to go back to your workplace or your school or wherever you go day to day and just kind of turn the place upside down, just inviting people to church and telling people about Jesus all day long and things like that. That's not going to have any meaning to people. But what I am saying is that just like the parables, we need to seek out one. Just seek out one. Recognize the lost in your life. And being lost just means that you're a sheep without a shepherd. It's a life being lived without God. And everyone is in need of relationship with God. So recognize that one person in your life that God has put before you. And recognize that they need God in their life, just like you needed God in your life at one point as well. Do you remember your life before God? Do you remember? It wasn't good. It wasn't good. the people that you are with every single day, they need God as well. Recognize the lost. Seek the lost because God seeks the lost. And lastly, the last practical application point I want you to have is rejoice for those found. Rejoice for those found. In both these parables, it ends with Jesus saying that God rejoices when just one is found. God rejoices when just one is found. And when God finds his people, he feels so joyful. And you need to know that, and all of you need to know that God is happy when the lost are found. And what's important in noting about this scripture is that it's actually God that's rejoicing amongst the presence of angels. Typically, when we read in scripture about rejoicing and worship, it's always the angels rejoicing, and it's always the angels rejoicing with God and things like that and worshiping God. But in this scripture, it says that God is actually rejoicing amongst the presence of the angels. And like God, when you hear of a life change, when you hear of someone encountering the gospel for the first time, when you see someone encounter the gospel and their life is transformed, we all need to rejoice because there's nothing greater than a life being transformed by the power of the gospel. We should all be rejoiced. There's no life greater than a life lived in Christ. So if you're a believer here today and you consider yourself a Christ follower, we are called to seek the lost as God has sought each of us. Now think about it. Unless God spoke audibly to you or like wrote it on the wall or something, more than likely, God used a person, used someone to share the gospel with you. It probably wasn't like a red Starbucks mug or a Target employee saying Merry Christmas to you or anything like that. It was someone sharing their story of how their life was changed because of Christ. And that's what I'm asking you guys to do and think about over the next few weeks. Allow God to empower you with his Spirit to seek the lost and share your story of how your life has been changed by the gospel. And before you were a believer, God sought you, and he's seeking still those that are lost. I also want to encourage you to be connected to a community of believers. And if you're here this morning, and you're just kind of trying to figure out this whole faith thing, this whole church thing, this whole Jesus thing, I'm glad you're here. Like I said earlier, Pastor Jeremy is glad you're here. And you're probably still trying to figure out what you're going to believe. And you're like, man, I came on the wrong Sunday. They've got a guest speaker up here. He's got a really long beard. I don't know how I feel about that. I haven't been to church in a long time, but last time I came to church, they did not have a long beard like that. And he's speaking about like reaching the lost and evangelism and things like that. I want to encourage you to stick with it. Stick with it. Continue your journey, and no matter what, you're going to feel loved and welcomed here at this church. And I want to leave you with a story as well. I grew up in Alabama, and I know you guys can probably relate to that. I know Pastor Jeremy's from Louisiana. I suppressed my Southern accent, just so you guys know, though. It took a lot of years to get rid of that Southern accent. I've been in New York for 5 years. But I grew up in Alabama. I have a lot of great stories about Alabama and growing up there. But there's one memory that kind of stuck out over the years. And it's when I was about 7 or 8 years old or so. And my family had a tradition of going shopping on Black Friday. And many of you are still recovering from your shopping on Black Friday. That's all right. I stay clear of it now. Not only because I don't want to get trampled, but because the deals aren't as good as they used to be because with the internet and stuff like that. But back in the day, everybody went shopping on Black Friday. You couldn't find a parking spot anywhere. The malls were crowded. And I remember this one time when I was 7 or 8 years old, and I went to the mall with my family. I would go with my mom and my sister, and my dad usually stayed home, but every now and then he would come. But this time he was not there. It was just my mom and my sister. And I was somehow in this crowded mall. I got separated from my mom and my sister. And as a normal 7-year-old, I didn't really care at first. I was just kind of weaving in throughout the crowds and stuff like that. And I was just looking at Super Nintendo video games and stuff like that. So it wasn't that big of a deal. But then all of a sudden, it kind of hit me. I'm looking around, and like I'm in this huge crowd of people, and I'm like, I'm all alone. I'm 7 years old, all alone, and I don't know where my mom is. I don't know where my sister is. And then I start freaking out. I'm like, all right, this isn't good. You know, even my little seven-year-old brain knows that this isn't good. You know, I'm by myself. I remember stranger danger, all that stuff, and someone could kidnap me. And so I started just crying and bawling and stuff like that. And I was crying because what it was probably like 15 minutes that I was lost, but it felt like 4 hours or something. And I remember running around, you know, calling out for my mom, you know, by her first name, Mom. And I was calling her out, and I couldn't find her anywhere. And then I remember, though, going to the center of the food court, and I can remember seeing in the distance my mom. She was standing on top of the fountain, like the water fountain. She was standing on top, crying out for me. She was like, Ricky, I'm right here. And I run towards her, and we're united. And man, it was such an awesome feeling. And what I want you to know is that that's the same feeling that God has for you. That's exactly what God is doing with each and every one of us, that he is looking for those that are far from him, and he is doing whatever he can to reach each of you, and that we need to have that same care for those that are far from God as well. God sends so many people into our lives, and he wants to use us to help them get found. Because without God, we're all just sheep without a shepherd wandering around. And that the God of that created the universe wants us to be found. And he cares enough about each of us that even if there's only one lost, he's going to do whatever he can to reach that one. He'll leave the other 99 behind to reach that one that's lost. So if you're here today and you consider yourself a Christ follower, you consider yourself a Christian, I'm going to ask that you make a commitment to recognize the loss in your own life. Recognize the people that God has put in front of you and share your story. Can you make that commitment? If that's you and you make that commitment, I want to pray with you. If we could all bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, first, I just want to say I'm so thankful for you. I'm so thankful that you sent someone into my life to share your gospel with me. Man, my life is forever changed because of you. And I cannot thank you enough for that. But Father, I know there are other people in my life that need to hear the gospel as well. They need to hear my story of how I came to you. And I know there are people in this room that need to share their story as well. And so I want to pray for every single person in this room. I want to pray that you receive boldness. I pray that you receive confidence. And Lord, I pray that you send your spirit to give them wisdom. I pray that you send your spirit to give them the words to speak to their coworkers and to their peers and their family members. Because we're all just sheep lost until we find you. And so, Father, I pray that for every single person in this room. In Jesus' name. Amen. As I said earlier, I know I'm speaking to some people that have perhaps never made the decision to follow Jesus. And I just want to say that there is literally nothing greater than making the decision to follow Christ. Your life will be forever changed. And life is just better with Jesus. And so if that's you here today and you want to make that commitment, you want to make the commitment to follow Christ, you want to turn away from your own way, repent, which just means to turn away from your own life, turn away from sin, and turn towards God, I want to give you that opportunity. I'm going to say a prayer, and you can repeat the words that I say, or you can say it in your own words as well. If we could all bow our heads one more time. Father, God, I so many times in my life, I've tried to do things my own way. But today, I feel you calling me towards you. And my own way has not worked out up to this point. And God, I want to go your way. I want to follow after you. I'm sorry for the mistakes that I've made in my life, mistakes that the Bible calls sin. But from this day forward, I'm going to chase after you, God. I'm going to follow after you. I'm going to stick to the flock. I'm going to find a community of believers that I can be a part of to help me grow spiritually, to help me grow towards you. And I thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. If we could celebrate those that made that decision today with a hand clap.